Tommy?
Yeah.
You'll be foul. Captain Bob, that'd be great. Good to see you here today. All right, Ms. Hill, come right on up. This is the public comment period. This is items that are not on the agenda, so you can speak about anything you want. We may not take action today, may refer your request for the next meeting. However, you do have a right to, we want to hear from you. And don't have to swear you in. This is okay. Just tell us what's on your mind.
All right. Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Mary Hill, and I reside at 8316 Crittenden Road, which is located in the city of Suffolk. And I, just to give you a brief history, I am a descendant of the Oystermans, and I live in a village that is one of the few freestanding African-American villages located in the city of Suffolk that can trace its roots back to the late 1700s, where the original folks made their living off of the river. It was our industry which made us totally self-sufficient and independent. My father was an oysterman. My grandfather was an oysterman. My great grandfather was an oysterman. My great great grandfather was an oysterman. And what was so unique was that even my brothers were as well. And when they learned how to walk, their fathers took them out on their boat and they taught them how to fish. They taught them how to oyster, taught them how to crab. And unfortunately, in the late 50s, there was a chemical called ketone that depleted our industry and depleted our culture. And it caused our village to decline. And like the elders say, my brothers just call me an old shoe because that's all I hang around is people like my mom who is 85 years old. They have so much wisdom that they share with me. Working out in the river is when, you know, as I said, my brothers and all of the men, that's how they made their living. And as I was getting ready to say, just like the elders would say, it's just like if you took the shipyard out of Newport News, what would happen to Newport News? It would decline. And that is the same way the impact had on our village when we lost the oysters. And recently we discovered that, you know, that our livelihood has now returned. And we're so overwhelmed because one thing about my father and the original folks, they were so passionate about working out in the river that they always believed that the oysters would come back one day. And so they have. And unfortunately, my father did not live to see them return. But I am one that my mom says, you know, you reap the seeds you sow. So my father sowed these seeds so that I could reap them and my siblings could reap them. And people still that live in the Hobson Village could reap them. National Park Service said to us, you know, it's not so much about the buildings here, even though some people consider us an eyesore. What is so unique is that the people are still here to tell the story. And when we found out that the oysters returned, my father always continued, as well as I took up from after he passed away, continuing to pay the lease to the Marine Resources Commission, because as I said, they always believed that those oysters would come back. And as a result of continuing with his legacy, my mom and I and a couple of my other family members submitted applications to apply for more oyster ground, because now we can go back to resuming what was once our livelihood and to try to preserve what little we have left in our village. The dilemma that I have is that when we submitted application for to acquire additional oyster ground in the Nansemond River, and the Pagan River and the Choquetuck Creek, it was made notice or given disclosed as far as what the fee would be for the application, which was $25, and we had no problem with paying that. And we were informed that the application would have to be submitted to the newspaper for public notice. But we were not apprised of or were not aware of what the cost would be, other than in hoping that it was going to be a reasonable cost. When we first got notice from the Smithfield Times of the publication that ran four times, we were informed that it would had to run four times. The cost was $83, and we had no problem with that. And because of the oyster ground being situated in the Pagan River, we were informed that it had to be submitted to the Smithfield Times because that was the local newspaper that circulated where that those oyster grounds were situated. The additional oyster grounds that we submitted application for was situated in the Nansemond River. So once we received, after the notice ran, we subsequently received a bill for those ads. And we were just, you know, shocked and overwhelmed at the cost of those ads. They were more than what the survey was. One publication for was $751 to my mom. Another one was $689 twice, and another one was $658 plus an online $30 publication fee. And when I contacted the Marine Resources Commission, because this was something that we could not financially be able to pay, and pretty much felt that it was unreasonable that this amount would be assessed for, you know, for an ad to run. And when we make notice of that or were verbal about that, then the future ads were pulled from running in the Virginia pilot, because even some of the staff here at the Marine Resources Commission felt that the cost was unreasonable. And the subsequent applications were submitted to the Suffolk News Herald. And though the cost of those, when we received the bill, was one was $120, the other was $177, which we felt was reasonable. And in comparison with those ads that were ran in the other newspapers that where the publications were published, we felt that the Virginia Pilot was six times more than what the other newspapers in the Hampton Roads area cost. And our appeal to the board is for some relief here, because if we had known, we were conscious of the fact that we were responsible for payment, but if we had known that, if we had an option of being able to choose what newspaper this would go to without causing any, you know, deviation from the requirement of that it had to be placed in a local newspaper that circulated in that area, then we would be able to choose between Suffolk News Herald and the Virginia Pilot, because this amount here is something that we cannot afford. And we feel that it's totally unreasonable. And I understand, and in speaking with some of the staff, that the Marine Resources Commission doesn't have control over what the newspapers charge. But as a customer, if we had a choice of knowing, due to the fact that we're going to be liable for the payment, of which paper it was would to be newspaper it could circulate in for those four times to comply, then we would have been able to, like, I guess what I'm trying to say, make a conscious decision as to whether or not we wanted to pursue acquiring these oyster grounds. And considering the fact that we did not know what the cost was going to be, I am coming before you to appeal to you for some relief. We've waited since the 50s for our industry to return, and we want to get back to what was once our livelihood that we relied on. And I just appeal to you for some relief here.
Thank you very much, Ms. Hill. And you're right. What the staff is, I'm a little bit aware of this. As you know, you and I have talked, and you've also talked with the Secretary's office. And Mr. I understand Jane Hall, and Jane McCroskey of the Finance Department has researched this along with Mr. Grab, and they're still looking into options. And one option, of course, is to go through I can't think of the term, Jane. The tort claim department in Richmond.
And I did.
And have you gotten a ruling from them yet?
No. I contacted the risk management, the Division of Risk Management, to inquire about the Virginia tort claim, and they could not really give me any information regarding it other than that I could go on the website and you know.
So nobody would help you do it.
No.
Here's what I'll propose then right now, based on the history of this. You presented it to the commission. We'll now, and you know, Mr. Grab's staff is in charge of the surveys and so forth, and Ms. McCluskey is involved with the tort situation, and she can run this by our attorney, and then we'll have a report brought back to the commission so they'll have a full understanding of this for future, if any, future policy. And we'll try to help you any way we can. I personally emphasize and sympathize with you.
Thank you.
I think you were charged too much money by that paper, and I applaud what you're trying to do with this grant. And I wish you the best. I wish I could offer you some relief today. I can't do that, but I will have a report prepared for the commission. And my successor is aware of this, and he'll be prepared to follow it to the end.
Thank you.
What newspaper charged this amount of money?
Virginia Pilot.
Virginia Pilot. And I thank you again very much. And you and your mother, it's good to see you over here. And
thank you.
Good to see you're doing so well.
And I have one other thing to address briefly. In addition to the Nansemond River, which my deceased father does own oyster ground in the Nansemond River.
And you've kept that lease up, right?
Yes, sir.
Did you transfer that to your name?
To my mother.
Okay.
Yeah, my mother inherited his leases. So I'm my mother's caregiver. I'm relocated here, back here in 1999 after my father passed away to be my mom's caregiver. Okay. And one concern that there's 4,200 signatures on a petition as it relates to the Kings Highway Bridge, which I don't know if some of you are aware of, that the City Council of the City of Suffolk has approved the Kings Highway Bridge for demolition.
Oh, okay.
And in addition, the Director of Public Works, Eric Nielsen, addressed before City Council in their last meeting that there would be a need for a barge to be brought in to remove this bridge. And there is a concern, great concern, with myself and many of the watermen who own oyster ground in the Nansemond River as to what the impact as far as this would do to the you know, not just the oysters, but all the livelihood of the species that live in the Nansemond River.
We can, nothing has come before this commission that I know of on that, but we can certainly check with the highway department and keep an eye on that for you.
Okay.
I'll refer that to staff.
All right. Thank you
very
much.
Thank you again, Ms. Hill, good to see you.
Mr. Chairman.
And
I could address that for Ms. Hill. That would be very little damage. It would be very minimal because those piers are certain distance apart, and you'd see very little damage for that, maybe something very temporary.
As far as with the oyster grounds?
Yes, ma'am.
And bringing a barge in?
Mm-hmm. very little or next to nothing, in my opinion.
Thank you, Mr. Garrison. All right, thank you. Captain Bob, or Mr. Ridley, are you going to address the commission?
I didn't know we had a box over there. Okay.
Not sticking, is it?
This is the part of the program I like best. Bill knows we've been here for 15 years, sometimes sitting through until later than this. So it's with great pleasure after 15 years to say to Bill, thank you. Thank you in triplicate. Introduce again Bob Jensen, who's been a tremendous help to Bill, to this commission, in developing School of the Bay, over 10,000 kids out on the water for 10 years, and of course his reef project, and now the HORM, the Harvestable Reef Oyster Module. So without further ado, I'm going to miss you, Bill.
Thank you, John. I appreciate that.
And introducing Bob Jensen and all the things that hopefully, I don't know what's in the box, Bill. Let's
see. I could take my hat off, but this glare would bother my eyes.
I understand that.
Then I wouldn't be able to see the screen, and I'd probably goof up and say something nasty.
You have a reprieve to keep your hat on.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, well, listen. I appreciate everything you've done, Bill, and I'm here for the record to present a document that documents all of my activities since I first met you. When I go to the, I don't know how we get to the first, to the next frame. How do we? I've never operated this.
Help him, Andy.
Okay. Yeah, number two frame. Okay, see that dock there? That's in Lockley's Creek. It's known as Jensen's Landing. And see those kids? Those are wonderful kids of Virginia. 12,000 of those kids have been on that dock. But to build that dock, I had to do two finger piers first. And then deck it over a couple of years later. And then build the dead rise that I could put the kids on. You know, you can't do anything in a hurry in Virginia or you'll get blown out of the water. You know how that goes. But anyway, now, the next, how do you, will you just press the button?
Yeah, you just press this button right here.
You got to pull the fan right there, Andrew.
Right. Okay, wait, we got to get, you can't read any of it. We don't want anything with, oh, hold it. You go, to go back, how do you go back?
Okay.
Oh, backspace?
Yep.
That's simple. Oh, wait, I wanted to get the bill.
Okay.
This most important day. There he is.
There we go.
Can everybody see the Honorable William Pruitt on that screen?
Should I turn the lights on?
What we're using for a podium there is an electronic enclosure that goes eventually on top of my pole when I instrument the reefs with five parameters of data that will be uplinked to the satellites and downlinked to the internet. And anybody that's interested in knowing what the dissolved oxygen is or the water temperature, or even we're going to have a camera going if there's any fish around, you know, if the fishermen want to check which reef to go to, they can do it. But this was a momentous day, guys. It really was. The 9th of June. And the lady up in the center there is Becky Norton Dunlop. And she's got a copy of this presentation. My 15-year-old granddaughter taught me, or did all of the... here's the most important thing. And this is the last thing I'm going to show you. You've been sitting in that seat too long. You haven't had your afternoon break yet, and I'll be back. I guarantee it. Because Bill is going to, we're going to send him out of here, and he's going to be whistling and humming, counting his money. Is that what you do? Whistling and humming? But if, hey, listen, I got a present for you before you go.
Okay. Borrowing money, Captain Bob. More like me. Huh? Borrowing money.
Yeah, I got a real good present for you. I cut back 100 feet of line on this thing. I didn't want to cut it because I was only using it once. In case some of you guys don't know me, I'm a guy that fixes things. My ambition is to fix the Chesapeake back, especially bringing the living resources back. The oysters in particular, we've got a good way of doing it. And it's pretty painless.
I see Bushy's back there. You ought to have him undoing all those knots.
Yeah, but he wouldn't know. I mean, he's an ex-policeman.
He was in the Marine Corps, wasn't he, Bob?
He could do it underwater.
What do you want with all that line, though?
He don't want it cut.
I can use this for an anchor, but
I'll take the rope. I don't care what's in the box.
I guess you haven't seen anything like it.
We might not see it at all.
I hope it's not X-rated.
No. You go to jail for that kind of thing.
Now you need a knife. Yeah, that'd make me a good bow line. Yeah, acre line.
All right.
Deep water.
I think it's full of bricks.
Somebody should be there helping him, I swear.
Yep, down there, Kevin. Well.
Somebody
and,
help him.
And he's got a knife.
You got lead fish.
Well, these fish are short.
You're off.
Captain Scoop.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I got three newspapers in here, if you want to read them.
You can
unsell them for them. No, but it's the thing that's most important, though. Somebody help. Don't worry about the trash, the other man takes care of it.
Heavy.
A tombstone.
You sure you want this? Towel goes with it.
Warner, he'll get a picture of it.
It's the turret off the bottom.
It's bringing his own raft.
Now, what this is right over here. Next year is Christmas tree.
Christmas tree stand.
That's the third generation wreath module.
designed by Reed Technologies, Inc., who I'm the cook, the designer, the bottle washer, the flat tire, and that kind of stuff. But we're going to probably put, and maybe I shouldn't say what we're going to do, but what we're going to do is bring the oyster sack big time, and anybody with a clamor rig that isn't working can make a day's work by working, by flipping things overboard and taking them up when they're full of animals.
Mm.
Now, the clamor rig. A regular Pat and Tom rig will break, but a clamor rig will handle it. Just a rig. You haven't seen the effect. But this is yours to put in your yard. Compliments of Captain Bob. And every time you stumble over it, you'll think about it. Good job with it.
Gee, I wish my wife hadn't left. You could take it home with her.
But anyway, I'm going to take the... you don't want to read these newspapers, do you?
I don't know. I like to read newspapers.
Do you? Well, I mean, I can read it in the box. Because I put the Times, the Straits in here, the Daily Mass, and the Washington, whatever they call it. Oh.
Captain Bob, you never cease to amaze me, and I hope you have good luck with those. How many are you going to put into bay?
It's an astronomical number. I'm not going to tell you.
Yeah.
First, I got to hold up a couple banks so I can get the money.
I hear you. You're working on that, aren't you?
Yeah, I don't take government money.
I know you don't.
There's too many problems with it.
Thank you, Captain Bob,
and good luck. And the thing you got to remember when you retire, you know, when you have no Jenny to get you your coffee in the morning or whatever you do.
I know. That's what I said. You won't have a perfect.
Get something that you're excited about and do it. Seriously.
I'll take your advice.
That's it.
Thank you.
Bye.
Captain Wrigley, thank you. All right. Dr. Leggett. You're close enough.
I almost left this one.
I'm going to tie up my girlfriend.
Mr. Chairman, I'm amazed he didn't ask you for a permit for those.
Boy. That comes later.
I'd like to meet her.
Yeah.
I should pray.
Oh, and by the way, this one is for the record.
Hi. Thank you, sir.
It was an official
presentation. All right. I appreciate that. Okay. All right, Tommy.
Mr. Pruitt, members of the commission, my name is Tommy Leggett. I'm the Virginia Oyster Restoration and Fishery Scientist for the Chesapeake Bay Foundation. I'm actually embarrassed to come up here after that. That's quite an act to follow. And I'm not sure I can do it, but at any rate, I'm here on behalf of President of the Chesapeake Bay Foundation, Will Baker, and I know you wanted to leave out of here with little fanfare, but I'd like to present a letter or read a letter from Will Baker to the commissioner. It's addressed to the Honorable William A. Pruitt, Commissioner, Virginia Marine Resources Commission, dated June 27th. Dear Bill, on behalf of the Chesapeake Bay Foundation, I would like to acknowledge and thank you for your many years of service to the Commonwealth as Commissioner of the Virginia Marine Resources Commission. During your tenure as Commissioner, you built a team of professionals that has repeatedly demonstrated the ability to provide sound advice and strategic recommendations on managing and protecting Virginia's shellfish, tidal wetlands, and other natural resources. You have been fair and open with the CBF and the public. You have worked diligently to include stakeholders from all segments in deliberative processes, and you have managed controversial issues with skill and talent. You have demonstrated time and again that a state agency can be inclusive, efficient, and responsive. CBF looks forward to a continued healthy relationship with the Commission as you depart. We are confident that Steve Bowman will do an exemplary job as your successor, for you have trained him. On behalf of the Board of Trustees and the many staff at CBF with whom you have had the opportunity to work, I wish you the very best during your retirement. If I or CBF can ever be of assistance to you, please let me know. Sincerely, signed William C. Baker, President, and a note at the bottom that says, "All the very best, Bill." It's a copy to Steve Bowman, Roy Hoagland, Vice President of CBF, myself, and Ann Jennings, Virginia Executive Director. And on a more personal note, it was a privilege and honor to serve with you the 4 years that I served as commissioner. It was probably the most thankless job that I ever had. And in a kind of a sick way, I kind of missed some of the aspects of it. But anyway. Thank you.
All right. Anyone else? Mr. Mason from the Eastern Shore.
A couple of things. You probably know Mr. Fleming.
Yes, sir. Dr. Fleming, good to see you. I remember him when he was on the Board of Supervisors.
Yeah, we've been on our 20-something years. I'm going to hand out some copies of a shellfish survey that Jack Babelstead did, and a thing from the county.
All right.
Kind of supervisors.
All right. I'll pass it. I can just give them to me.
For the record, my name is C.D. Fleming, Jr., and my address is Post Office Box 101, New Church, Virginia, 23415. The purpose of our coming this afternoon, in addition to attending the last meeting of the Virginia Marine Resources Commission under the leadership of Mr. Pruitt, who is, I may interject at this point, a very dear personal friend, and I would like to add my congratulations to you and tell you that I have already retired myself from public service as, after 20 years of serving on the Accomack County Board of Supervisors. And I would say to you just briefly, come on in, the water's fine. it's a very rewarding time of life. It's a different stage of life, but certainly I think you're going to enjoy it. A little slower paced, perhaps, but I feel confident, knowing you as well as I do, that you'll find plenty of things to occupy your time and your talents with, and we, the people of the Commonwealth of Virginia, will probably benefit from your activities. We come this afternoon to share with you a pending permit before the Department of Environmental Quality, which there was a public hearing last Wednesday, the 21st of June, and Oak Hall, Virginia at Arcadia High School, attended by some 500 plus or minus people, and supported by quite a few agencies throughout the county of Accomack. Basically, it's a 900,000 gallon discharge permit, which is in treated from effluent into Swansgut Creek, which is a tributary of Chincoteague Bay. And while the Chesapeake Foundation is interested in the preservation or recuperation of Chesapeake Bay, we on the seaside are more and equally concerned, I would say, perhaps, with the preservation of Chincoteague Bay. So 900,000 gallons of treated effluent is going to be quite a input, and we are interested in and concerned about. Tommy Mason here will make some comments about the Baylor survey plots that are there. One is at the mouth of Swansgut Creek, and one is a little further up toward Cockle Point. And, of course, my interest personally is for clean water And of course, I also am a next door neighbor of Captain's Cove Group LLC, the developer who is trying to make 600 lots. Is there such a word as perkable? I guess so. Anyway, I just made it up in the event that there is no such word, perk, in their residential development. So we come with the idea of sharing these things with you at this time. We don't want to take up your time with this. It's nothing that can be done. It's just informational on our part. But we wanted you to be aware of it.
I can assure you the commission will be on the lookout for that one. Jack and staff have already been involved, and we'll keep our eye on it.
And we're very appreciative. I don't like to single out individual people, but just to indicate, Jack Travelstead gave up his Saturday in order to come to preview or review the survey. So we're very appreciative of that.
Thank you. And while you're here, if I may, I want to thank you for your service on the Board of Supervisors, so especially what you did for Tangier Island, my homeland.
Well, it's...
You could still get reelected over there, I can tell you that.
Well, I have a very special place in my heart for Tangier. I really do.
School system especially.
Yes,
thank
sir.
You.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, I'm Tommy Mason from Chincoteague, Virginia. I want to thank you personally. I want to thank Steve Bowman, and a special thanks to Jack Travelstead for coming over on a Saturday. I want to thank Ernie Biden for coming over, taking his time, and so we certainly appreciate it. And as you can probably see with the survey that Jack did, it is a viable resource of clams in this area. Ernie can attest to that. And as you can see, the supervisors has this resolution against it. And Francis order with the Seafood Council attest that the Seafood Council is against this also. And as I talked to you one time before, you asked, were they against the development or against running the treated sewage in the Chincoteague Bay, which is a pristine bay. You know that aquaculture clam business in the state of Virginia is number one in the United States now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably $40 million a year coming into the economy, and most of that is on the eastern shore of Virginia. So, like I said, Francis, the Seafood Council, supports this, and what have you. It is one concern that we have is the Baylor survey, and I would probably have to ask your counselor here. They wanted to run 900 gallons of treated sewage going into Chincoteague Bay. Originally, it was going to condemn or restrict 375 acres of PMRC's bottom, lease bottom. Well, it's not leased, it's bottom, but it was two pieces of Baylor survey in this area that would be condemned. Now, DEQ has told us that they have run power lines and some bridges through Baylor Survey. Baylor Survey is, state-owned grain that is for the watermen to work on. And I talked to Dr. Kronenberg with Shellfish Sanitation. He said there was one incident in Yorktown where they had to condemn a piece of Baylor Survey, but that was for a municipality. Now, can a developer take up or run treated sewage act into the state water and cause a Baylor survey grind to be condemned?
Okay, now first of all, I'm going to either give my typical disclaimer that I provide advice to the commission and to the staff, my clients. I'm not allowed to provide advice to others. In fact, I don't even have malpractice insurance to cover that. But secondly, the one thing I can tell you, and this doesn't answer your question, but there is an old Attorney General's opinion that says that Baylor grounds can be used for public uses. Now, whether this is or is not a public use is something which probably is debatable.
That's something that they'll be looking into. Bob's staff will look into that as this goes, Jack, as this goes forward.
And you asked me about, I got off track a little bit about, was this against the development or the running sewage or treated sewage in Chincoteague Bay? And it's not. The group is called the Chincoteague Preservation. Ernie's been to a couple meetings and attested to this. They've asked the group in Captain Stowe, why don't you put a closed system in and irrigate your golf course. And Mr. Fleming here is offered 200 acres of his, where he grows trees, to put this on. He's next door neighbor. So they do have a place to put this, and they've tried to work with him 100%. I'm from Chingatay, and I'm going to tell you, I'm astonished, and I think Ernie was too, when we went on the Greenback, with the people, how nice they were, how accommodating they were, and they were trying to work this out. Only thing they didn't want this treated water running Chingatay Bay, and Ernie was up there, and Jack Bell said, it is beautiful.
I don't blame them either, not to want that. Ernie?
Comment I'd like to make. I believe this group has done an excellent job. I've never seen a group come together so quickly. And not only opposed to the discharge, but also they find alternate ways to handle the discharge. So
that's interesting.
I must commend them for their good work. I went to several meetings Tommy asked me to go to. I also accompanied Mr. Travelstead on the boat when we done the claim survey. At no time have I heard anyone, and one meeting was attended by 100 people, I would imagine. The firehouse was full in Greenback. No one was against the development of Captain's Cove. They were just against the discharge into the pristine waters of Chincoteague Bay. And there is alternatives. And Mr. Fleming has been gracious to allow some of his land to be used for that alternative. And I think the people in this group should be commended for their work.
Thank you, Ernie. Thank you, Tommy. And Dr. Fleming, thank you for coming.
One more thing.
Yes, sir.
People of Eastern Shore, from me, and Chingatay, I'd
like to be open this. Where I grew oysters, I'd bring a knife and
I'd like to get in, but maybe this is good. Where I grew oysters in Cannes.
I don't
want to
play with sharp stuff.
This is hand carved by some carvers over in Eastern Shore. Be careful for this Chingatay hand carved oyster.
Oh man, look at here. One.
Got the wood, and you got a fan in here also.
There you go.
Looks good enough to eat.
A little stand to put them off.
All right. So you can look at them in your retirement and think of maybe the Eastern Shore of Virginia.
Thank you, Tommy.
Good luck. You're
a good man. Appreciate it.
Take it easy. All right. Anyone else in the public comment period? Thank you all very much. And now, Jack, you had a request for the commission.
Request to move item 16 up to your next to be heard, ahead of item 15.
And while we're on that, Captain Rhodes, after we take 16, if we could then bring the repeat offenders in, they need to get a going too. Okay. All right, Jack. Is Jack going to do this? Claude. Claude Bain, item 16.
Wow. This is the agenda item that we talked about at the May meeting, the result of a request by FLW Outdoors. National organization running striped bass tournament trail for an exemption to the striped bass slot limit prohibition for their December national championship in Virginia Beach.